I don't know where this message finds you in your life. As I make this drive today that I have to do, I get a little bit of time to talk. So I'm in my car, I'm looking at some beautiful German countryside farmland right now as I'm driving. Green, wonderful May day in 2020, even though everything's covered with the invisible COVID. COVID everywhere. Just kidding, it's really not, but you know, they say it is. I don't know where this message finds you. My hope is that it finds you blessed. I want to talk to you. Oh, look at the little horse. Oh, he's so little. I want to talk to you about how God moves. There's a wonderful phrase that God moves in mysterious ways. And indeed, I will say he does. I have read scripture, and if the Bible didn't tell me that that's a way that God has moved before, I wouldn't believe it. Mighty rushing wind, day of Pentecost. Cloven tongues like fire, kind of, on their heads. Okay. Earthquakes. Axe heads floating. Red seas parting. Pillars by night. Clouds by day. Speaking of all these different times, judges, prophets, spirit coming upon men and them prophesying, burning bushes, you know, voices from heaven at times, angels appearing, you know, all these sundry ways and diverse manners that God has spoken in times past to the fathers, as Hebrews 1 explains, and how that is given way and bowed down to proskuneo, the glory of the one greater than the temple, Jesus. And now the Spirit testifying about Christ is this great impetus of the new covenant. God moves in mysterious ways, but not usually. The Bible tells us in its full counsel that God far more often moves in the normal, ordinary, ordained means. And so, I don't know where this message finds you, but if you're looking for the fantastic, I remember the day I was in the Air National Guard back in Tampa, Florida. I was, what, 20, maybe 25 years old, very, very, very new to Christianity. I was in a word faith cult, deceived in this place in Tampa, Florida. The Holy Ghost bartender was my quote-unquote pastor. And I learned all kinds of garbage, but of course I learned some good things. And I remember sitting on a lunch break or some break during a day out in the back of this motor pool and just begging God to uproot a tree. Just privately for me. Just go ahead, Lord. I won't tell anybody. Now, go ahead. I don't need to see it. But, you know, Scripture says you can remove mountains. I was in Central Florida. There aren't any mountains, so I went with a tree. You know, God, just go ahead. I'm ready. You know, I love you. I put my faith in you, and I had at that time, as best I understood. God, go ahead. Uproot that tree. Okay, now. Nobody's looking. Now, now, now. And just willing it and wanting it and calling out hungry for it. You know, spoiler alert, it didn't happen. And maybe that's you. Maybe you look for the fantastic in your life. And when you see it, you think, well, that'll be the day. That'll be the confirmation. My friend, God most likely will not do it for you. He more often than not moves in his ordained, established means. What are those means? Study. The Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, the eternal third person of the Trinity, is laboring to reveal the Son in humanity right now. He does that like what comes to my mind is, it's in letters, but it's like a painter painting a painting and you just watching it develop. That's how theology grows in us, is it grows us in the image of what we see in the Bible. So as I learn that God is triune and that picture is painted for me in that scriptural way, in the full deity of Jesus and all these things that he reveals about the Father and everything that it reveals, I am then shaped by what I see. And isn't that how theology works? It's just a picture. I'm just trying to give you a picture. So we read and we grow in the image of what we see in Scripture. As a husband, you'll do this. As a disciple of Jesus, you'll do this. As an evangelist, fulfilling that work all of us called to of sharing what we've received. You do this, you model it, you see it done, you read accounts of it in Scripture, and then you might see it in the life witness of other men and women. And in the image of Christ, beholding that, like in a mirror, we all with unveiled face are being transformed into the same image. Holiness, growth, sanctification, all those things. God has ordained study. His written, theanoustos, God-breathed self-revelation, those 66 letters called the Bible, God has ordained in every generation of the church, post the apostles, for that revealed word to be ground zero for the growth of all believers. And it's been happening since the beginning. The Spirit is the one who changes us. And it's through the preaching of the gospel and the full counsel of God that those blessed enough to spend the time in such things are by degrees sanctified, made more and more and more into the grand goal of Christianity, conformity to Jesus Christ, the God-man, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bought the church with his own blood, God did, we being transformed into that image. He's ordained scriptural meditation. That's how he moves. You don't put in the work. Where's God, you say? And I understand why. This is why we go to church. Another means that God has ordained. Don't buy into... Satan's a wonderful preacher, very diligent, right? Don't buy into the hippy-dippy lie that you don't need a church to be a Christian. That's a lie. You need more than a nose to be a body. You need more than one person to be the church. The church is the gathering of saints. It is a building. If you do it in a field, the church is the field. Sure, I doubt you do that. But if you do, okay. You need the church. God is ordained to bless people there. You learn to mind yourself, to see your role in a grand scheme, in fellowship. You learn responsibility. Hopefully you're not so lazy that you expect the church to do everything for you. Watch your kids, prepare your coffee, set the AC, clean the toilet, and you do nothing but show up and freeload. Hopefully that's not you. If it is, check yourself. But hopefully in a church, you've been there some period of time, you learn to give of yourself. You learn the values of that. You learn the whys of it. It's wonderful. God has ordained this. Prayer. You speak directly to the God who made all the galaxies inside 6 days in creation with his spoken word. You're created in his image. You get to talk. And you go to him and you pray. He's ordained this as a means of how he moves in your life. And you'll only pray well when you're praying according to his will. And the only place you learn his will is in the written word. And you learn about his written word by men, pastors, because women can't pastor men. We all know that. You learn about his word better from men who've been doing it, and indeed women, in the capacities that God has ordained for women, which is equal in spirit, but just not in role. We don't all fill the same roles. So you may learn this from a woman, is my point, just as well as a man. You learn about that from somebody who's been in that word by the Spirit, in the church, in prayer, longer than you. All things included. All things equal, excuse me. So again, you come back around to these means. He has ordained tribulation and suffering, discipline for sin. He's ordained that. You discover yourself your need of Christ and His closeness to you when, and only when, frankly, you suffer. John Piper said it wonderfully. He said, I don't know anybody that told me they learned the deepest truths about their faith on vacation. I've been to Israel. I've been to Greece. I've been to Germany, you know, all over places here, historic sites in Switzerland and France and, you know, vacation. And I'll tell you that I learned more in Afghanistan, suffering great persecution for not being pro-homosexual. I learned more about Jesus in that 29 days of horrific persecution than in all those vacations combined. I discovered His closeness. Now, I wouldn't wish the tribulation on myself, but why wouldn't I when I consider it? He's ordained it. And if you're doing the things that Christians are called to do, which is engaging with Scripture, others in your lives, in love, proclaiming the gospel, delivering what you received from God, grace and love and mercy, you go to deliver that to hostile to God sinners, you will get the persecution. Jesus promised it. He's ordained that. It's how He moves. So if you're not learning in the Word, and therefore representing the Word, and being led by the Spirit in the Word, and not learning how to do that, which probably comes in the capacity of church or some kind of fellowship and prayer, drawing near to God, these means that He's ordained, you're not going to suffer persecution in the world because you're not doing the things Christians do, which is what I just named. You're not studying the Scripture. You're not in prayer. You're not in fellowship. You're not suffering, therefore, because you're not doing the work of an evangelist wherever God's called you to be. You may not be a full-time evangelist, but in your life, your family, your friends, and yes, total strangers. If you can, pray about it. He's ordained this. And He moves in our lives. He makes His covenant sure and known. While I can't agree with Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones on his views on sealing with the Holy Spirit, I can't get there. I see too many problems with that, but I respect the man's teaching. No, we grow in sanctification. We grow in awareness that may look like a sealing with the Holy Spirit, may feel like that to some. And I've asked God if that's true. I want it, what the man preached on. Great respect for Martin Lloyd-Jones, but a bit too much of a subsequentialist for me. And I'm not trying to sound like a scholastic here, just a little too much for me. Maybe he's right. Maybe I'm wrong. Willing to learn, believe me. I'm such a venerable man of God. You'll grow in that. This is how God grows us, from milk to meat. From being children, and you really never grow beyond simple reliance on God like a child, but you stop being a child as you grow up in the things of God. You can handle doctrines like God's absolute sovereignty. God decides who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. You can't come out of Scripture with anything else. But you'll learn to balance that with what Scripture teaches on man's responsibility. You got to spend the time and handle it and see where you're sinning in certain things and forgetting Scripture, and you stop robbing yourselves of the depth of the Bible when you handle it long and mature, holding the mystery of the faith in a clear conscience, as all leaders in the church must be able to do, and all of us in turn, if we're growing in maturity, we want to be able to do that. So my point in this short message, while I'm driving, getting close to my destination here, a few minutes out, is don't look for the aha moment. It's not going to come to you in a singing service with your eyes closed and the drums beating very loud. You can't manufacture this. There's no shortcuts. There's no, a guy lays his hands on me and that which I could otherwise have gained by a year of prayer and study and fasting, another means he's ordained, persecutions, evangelism, you know, growth, fellowship, giving of myself, receiving from others, encouragement. To others and others, rebuking the church, God's discipline in my life through the church, direct from Himself, everything that He uses in that. All of those things that He has ordained, you can't short circuit it. There's just no shortcut. There's no microwave here. It is a process, and it's how he moves. And so if I can tell you this and get you to look for it in your life and talk to those learned in Christ around you about it, then I'm your servant here for blessing. That's what I want. I want you to see God moving, answering your prayers, confirming in you the truths of the gospel. It's nothing new. This is what he's always done. And there have been unusual times where God has moved in ways that we can't explain or replicate or demand. We can't demand when God moves. Ever. One of the greatest dangers of the word faith cult in our day is to say that you can get a hold of something by faith and demand it from God. You might have a Bible verse that seems to teach it, but it doesn't. The Bible does not teach that. And if something's rising up in your mind, well, be patient. You got some bad theology. You don't demand God move in any way that he's moved. But I want you to see him moving in your life. One of my dearest friends in the world was with me in Afghanistan back in 2010, my first time there. Seems like a long time ago. It was a long time ago. 10 years, man. Wow. And I was teaching Bible studies, teaching through the book of Galatians, teaching studies on predestination. That year we were there, a full year. And you can find those online in the audio section of Biblicia, Galatians study. You'll hear the recordings in that little wood and tin shack in the middle of Fob Shank, Afghanistan. I had one of my dearest friends to this day in the faith that had come to those studies in and out, and he and I had talked, and he was really looking for the aha moment, he said, in his life and struggling with his faith. Was he a Christian? Was he not? He didn't know. And I remember he told me later on, I didn't know it at the time, but I remember sitting with him in the office, in my office, and on a big dry erase board, going through the fruit of the Holy Spirit with him, love and joy and peace and patience, etc., and testing him. Do you have this? Do you have this? Is this something you confidently could say before God you've learned? No, 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 yes, yes, no, 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 no. You know, as we went through these various demonstrations of fruit. And I said, well, man, it seems to me you're not a Christian at all. And he told me, he got really angry with me, with what I was saying and how I was saying it and all this kind of stuff. And he left there. He kind of faked it. I don't remember him being angry. He kind of covered it. But he left that room and he went out into a port-a-john or into one of our bathrooms that we had in the middle, again, of, you know, rocket-infested Afghanistan. Every day we were getting bombed. And he got angry with God, but gave his heart to Christ, received, repented, received Christ, put his trust in Jesus. And I only learned this some years later, where traveling, 7 years later, I was traveling through where he lived on my way to another state and happened to be there on a night of Bible study at that he was attending. And I went to that Bible study that night. I love Bible studies. I love going to people's homes and being a part of them. It's just life-shaping. And he told the story there at a table with 20 strangers that I'd never met. I didn't even know. He said, I was looking for the aha moment. And we had a long conversation that day. What I helped him realize is that there isn't one. You look to Christ, and if you find him in your heart and you believe in your mouth and confess, well, the word is near you. And he learned it, and it changed everything. And he said, I was looking for this aha moment, and then I realized there wasn't one. And friend, let me tell you, the key to seeing God move in your life isn't what you don't know today. And it may be. I mean, you're going to learn. I'm learning things in Scripture, studying it every single day for almost 20 years. Every single day. And I'm learning. Have I even read that before? And I've read through the Bible more times than I can count. And I'm learning. And I'll be saying this, God willing, in 50 years. I didn't even know that was in the Bible. It's so new. It's so wonderful. It's so rich and in depth. Friend, you're going to learn. But the key to growing in Jesus isn't what you don't know. It is obeying what you do. If you get that, and you look for those means that God has ordained, you don't look for the mysterious ways. You don't look for ways that aren't familiar. You look for the laid down path, and you'll find Him there. And you'll see Him moving, and you'll grow in it, and you'll know it, and nobody can rob you of it. The only frustrations you'll have then is that other people will look and not see it, and it's so plain to you. It's been made so plain to you in faith by God, the Holy Spirit. You know Jesus. You see Him move. You've seen Him answering your prayers and being in your life and His Word being proven over and over and over. And then somebody else will look at Him and be like, prove God. And you can't, because they think that you can short circuit those last X years or months or whatever you've pressed and followed and obeyed and done what God's commanded. They haven't, but they want you to lay it out for them. That'll be your frustration. And then you'll just go back, if you have a good theology, to doing what God has told you to do. You bear witness to Christ and Him crucified. That's it. There you go. You never get beyond that. It's not your personal testimony that saves anybody. You just tell them they're a sinner and Christ died and rose again for sinners and repent and trust in Him. It's a commandment. And give them what God's given you to give them. So I pray you see God move in your life. And then take that. Take that to others. God bless you. Thank you for your time. Till next time, God bless.